time to play a game. It's time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it,
all about control,
and if you can take it,
all about your debt,
and if you can pay it,
it's all about pain,
and who's gonna make it?
And we are live. What's up, it's your boy K9, and you're listening to The Kennel. Follow me on Instagram, at K9_Florida. Like, follow, share us on Spotify if you can. Rate us 5 stars if you can as well. Let's go. I got cousin Bubby in the building.
Hey, howdy, hey.
He's here. He's ready. We got the legend, the first celebrity guest ever coming back on the kennel, Danny Hoban, the former Texas Ranger pitcher, baseball player.
Ooh.
And the funny thing is, he's coming to talk basketball with us. We're not going to talk baseball today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the NBA is hot right now. Everybody's talking about it. So we're going to talk some basketball later. We're going to get him on the phone. But before we get into that, let's talk some wrestling, man. You've been texting me a lot about wrestling.
Yeah.
And all this stuff going on with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So break it down for me. What's going on with The Rock? Let me know.
Well, first of all, as you probably know, we're on the road to WrestleMania. And they're hyping this up as the biggest WrestleMania of all time. WrestleMania 40. 4-0 in Philly.
Philly. I need a cheesesteak.
Don't talk to an Eagles fan, but we're going to Philly. But yeah, they're building towards Mania 40. The second Mania under with the company under the realm of Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the game, as you just heard in the intro.
Oh.
You like that.
I love it.
But yeah, this year though, it's the big 4-0. You know, and they're hyping up a big main event scene with the one and only The Rock. They're hyping him up. I don't think he's gonna wrestle, but basically he came back. You know, he had this massively shat on segment with Roman Reigns. He came out, didn't say anything, just stared at Roman, looked at the title. Show cuts, fade to black. Everyone goes crazy. They're outrage. They're like, Cody didn't get to finish his story. That is so undashing of people, of him to just come in here. You know, he's a code or TKO and just crap on Cody's, you know, Cody, you don't get to finish your story.
Oh, shit.
Screw you. But then, a couple days later, there's this WrestleMania kickoff conference. And dude, if you have like 20 minutes of like free time on your hands, go and watch that segment where it's the World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins, it's Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, and The Rock. Just take 20 minutes of your time to go watch it. It is pure, it's just amazing. There's not much I can say about it, but yeah. But the moral story is The Rock is now a heel. He's now he's calling people who support Cody crybabies, calling people this and that. He's signing with The Rock, saying that, you know, this is the biggest main event ever. Roman's going to, you know, crap on Cody's dreams. And yeah, he's coming out there wearing like these weird look, these like suits, these like vests that he hasn't worn since like 99 when he was like, you know, Mr. Hollywood and stuff. And then I'm like, whoa, The Rock being a heel. We're not used to this.
So it's 100% he's wrestling at WrestleMania.
Well, I don't think so. But there's speculating that he might. It might be him and Roman teaming up against...
I know, but what scares me about that is they said that about the Royal Rumble, and I got all pumped up, and then he didn't even come out there. Mm-hmm. So is The Rock going to wrestle? He needs to show up and wrestle. I don't need him just promoting it.
I know, but it's not official yet. But now he's in the picture, though. Like, Royal Rumble, he was nowhere. Like, we thought he would just come out of nowhere, but he's here. He's now here, in the picture. So if there's a chance for him to wrestle at Mania 40... This is a chance. This is the moment. And they're saying that it could be Rock. They're saying it's going to be Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. Main event, night one. The stars aligning.
The stars are aligning.
So,
I love it.
That, so yeah, that's that. We're on the road to Mania 40, and man, it's gonna get crazy. And there's even a pay-per-view coming up soon on a couple of days. Elimination Chamber.
The last Elimination. They still do that match?
Yeah.
Dude, back in the day, the Elimination Chamber, when they would be like in the glass tubes,
mm-hmm.
and they would kind of and you would never know, it would like light up which one would open. Oh, yeah. That's fire.
Mm-hmm. Now they're doing it's had its own pay-per-view for a while, but it hasn't been good until, you know, obviously Triple H came in, but, you know, they're going to be in Australia for this pay-per-view. Damn. Yeah, and they're having two Elimination Chamber matches, one men's, one women's. And so that's coming up. But again, the big one is that The Rock is now involved in the big Mania storyline.
That's awesome. That got me hype. Dude, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the news today, but Mick Foley, a.k.a. Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Dude Love.
Mankind.
Bang, a.k.a. Bang. Mankind. He's had like four different personalities. He said in his podcast, I think it was yesterday, he wants to come back for one more match. 60 is right around the corner. In quotations, these are his words. I'm thinking about doing one final match for my 60th birthday, he claimed. And not only does he want to do one match, he wants it to be a death match.
Whoa.
He said, I'm not kidding. I think it would be a great incentive to drop those 100 big ones. I think it'll be fun. So I guess he plans on losing 100 pounds, and he thinks this would motivate him to do that.
Damn.
He wants to come back for one more match. How excited would you be if you heard Mick Foley is coming to WrestleMania to do a Hell in a Cell match against The Rock or something nuts?
That'd be nuts.
That would break the internet. That'd break everything, I feel like. It would. That would be huge.
What a timeline.
I mean, he is probably like the most hardcore, one of the most hardcore guys ever, if not the most. And him claiming that he wants to come back for a death match.
Dude.
In quotations.
At nearly 60.
It's right around the corner. So I don't know what exactly around the corner is, but it sounds like it's pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, you got a dude who has done things to his body. He's been through hell and back, the things he's done to his body. You know, throwing himself off the cell, going through the cell right on the floor. He almost died in that match against The Undertaker back in 98 when he got thrown off the cell and he got chokeslammed through the cell. It wasn't supposed to break that like that. He was supposed to fall in the cell, then it was supposed to buckle, and then he'd take a little safe, like, little jump, drop. But no, he just went straight through, bam!
Oh,
almost
shit.
Died. But yeah, the things he's done to his body, you know, he has sacrificed his body for the art of pro wrestling, and, you know, and you gotta give him credit, man. You know, the things he did to his body, you can't help but respect him for what he did for the wrestling industry.
Definitely. He wasn't athletic. He wasn't, like, anything like that. Really, honestly, wasn't the best wrestler. He would just put his body through whatever.
Yeah.
And nobody else was, like, really on that time. They're
exactly.
Like, dude, you're fucking crazy.
I know. You think, like, when you hear that, you think, like, oh, he's somebody that, like, Vince McMahon would, like, job out of the WWE. But no, he kept them around, and, you know, obviously, you know, Mick Foley showed that, you know, he puts his heart and soul into wrestling day in and day out. And again, we saw what he put his body through just for the art of pro wrestling.
I would love for him to come back and do this last match, man.
Definitely.
That would be phenomenal.
Hopefully it doesn't turn out like Ric Flair's last match, though.
Oh, dear God. Which one? He had like six of them, didn't he?
The one 2 years ago. The one where the awful, the tag match. Bad one.
I just watched this documentary on Netflix. It was pretty entertaining, but at the end of the day, you just realize, I hate to say, but Ric Flair was a terrible person, man.
Yeah.
Terrible person.
He had the charisma.
He really, like, they interviewed all these former wrestlers, Triple H, one of them. They're like, dude, he really thought he was Ric, like, Flair. Like, the personality he played in wrestling, he did that in real life, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he took it to the max. Like, he lived actually the life
of
so-called Ric Flair.
I got you. And I graduated from theater school. In the world of theater, we call that method acting.
Cool.
It's where you basically live your life as this character you're playing. It takes over your life. A good example of this method acting in the Hollywood scene, Heath Ledger, the Joker. You know, the famous story is that in order to play the Joker character, he literally locked himself in a hotel room for 2 months, doing a bunch of heroin, and just, like, you know, basically, you know, took over. He basically ruined his. I mean, he kind of did ruin his life to play this. You know, play his heart out as the Joker. He won an Oscar for it, but he also died for it. So it's like, was it worth it? It was worth it. I mean, well, I don't know. It helped him, you know, create such a great, you know, and such an interesting and amazing, like, portrayal of the Joker. But at the same time, again, he died because of, you know, heroin overdose. So, like, it, you know, it wasn't really worth it, you know, for him. But again, at least it gave us a Oscar-worthy performance.
Right. And this is probably what happened with Ric Flair, like what you're saying. And he just took it to the max. And, I mean, he just... He really wasn't around his family at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough when you're on the road all the time. But, man, he said he slept with over, like, 10,000 women, minimum. I mean, he would just walk into parties and just take off his pants, like, in front of hundreds of people. You know, like, stuff like that. Like, it's funny. But at the same time, like, dude, that's pretty bad. To walk out there in front of hundreds, maybe thousands of people and just whip your thing out.
I was about to say, like, if we did that, instant, like, jail.
Yeah, you're going to jail. You might be labeled as a damn sex offender or something. Yeah, pretty much. Like, some of the stuff he did was, you know, crazy. But, I mean, he is one of the best wrestlers ever. I give him that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good story. I don't mean to talk too down on him. You know, I like him. But at the same time, it's like, dude, this biography showed me a lot about Ric Flair. I didn't know he was, like, that bad of a dude, man. Neither. Oh man, yeah, it was wild when I heard that, and then he got in that thing on the airplane, and oh, it was wild. He was something else. But shout out Ric Flair, man.
limousine riding, jet flying, kid stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun.
And he was loyal, bro. He stuck to NWA. He didn't come to WWE for the longest, bro.
Yeah,
he didn't want to leave NWA, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Woo.
All right, let's get into some NASCAR talk, man.
NASCAR, they're making a left turn.
They're making another one. The 500, I'm just going to say it, and I'm just going to put it out there. This Daytona 500 was the biggest disappointment ever.
Heartbreak.
When there was 8 laps left, and you have Denny Hamlin, you have Ryan Blaney, you have Keselowski, you got all these big-name guys... They're fighting for first, and it was great. Great competition. If you like NASCAR racing, you were loving what was happening. This was about to be the best ending to a 500 ever. This would have been the best 500 ever. And I was so excited. I'm seeing all these big-name guys, the best guys in NASCAR. They're the top 8. They're all fighting for that number 1. They're all so close to each other. And then William Byron. He just tapped Keselowski. I don't know if he did it on purpose. He probably did. But I'm going to put it to you like this. Out of the top 8 cars, William Byron was the only one to make it past his wreck. He just hit Keselowski so perfectly. It sent Keselowski up to the wall, hit the hell out of Ryan Blaney, and wrecked everybody. Denny Hamlin, just pretty much everybody in the top 8. And it sucked to see, man, because the race ended up ending on a caution. So you don't want to see the 500 end in a caution anyways. This dude ended up causing 2 different wrecks. It kind of pissed me off. And he got away with both of them. Didn't hurt his car at all. Keselowski was looking real good. I thought maybe he could win it. Denny Hamlin, our boy.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going to come from the back. He just pitted, so he had the freshest tires out of all of them. He was coming up from the back. This wreck ruined everything. It ruined the 500. It was devastating. Biggest disappointment ever in 500 history. And it looked like it was going to be the best ending ever in 500 history. I mean, it would have been great. It sucked to see that happen. Shout out our boy Denny Hamlin, though, man. He raced hard. He raced smart. But stuff like that, at the end of the race, you can't control anything about that. Yeah, no. I liked how Kyle Busch was racing, too, man. He was racing his ass off. He wanted to win that. First 500 in 19 years, he's never won, and he ended up racing too damn hard and ended up wrecking, but shout out Kyle Busch. But so this weekend coming up, we got the Atlanta 400, the Ambetter Health 400, what they call in it, this race, because they race here twice a year. So this is the first race of the year in Atlanta, Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Okay.
And we're going to give you our top 3 picks for the race. We're going to start doing this every week. Get a little NASCAR involved in the podcast for our NASCAR folks.
That.
People like me. So, Bubby, I'll let you go first.
All right.
Give me your long shot that you got written down for the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
I got you. My long, long shot, Todd Gilliland, plus 10,000.
Big. That's mortgage payments right there.
if you hit, then you can you don't need lotto tickets. You got set up.
Oh, man. $100 wins you 10,000?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, might as well. I mean, yes, you lose $100, but like if the stars align and you hit, big payday.
Oh, man. Why are you picking this guy? You just like his name or is there a certain reason?
It's a mix of the odds and the name. It's a mix of all. The stars feel like they're going to align for the man, the myth, the legend, Todd Gilliland.
Okay, I respect that. I mean, you said on the first podcast you don't know the most about NASCAR, but honestly, bro, I've bet on a lot of sports, and I hit a 6 out of 6 UFC parlay before just mm-hmm. by picking names I liked more. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Anything can happen. So I respect your long shot. My longest shot, I don't have anything crazy this week for my long shot, but this week, my long shot, in quotations, is going to be Martin Truex Jr.
Ooh.
He's driving in a Toyota. He's plus 1750. I really like those odds for Martin Truex Jr. He's won at this track before. And this is just kind of one of the tracks that Martin Truex Jr. really shows up. It seems like his team does really well. His pit crew does really well. I usually like the Fords at this track, to be honest with you, with this race. But I got to have one Toyota in it. I usually would have Denny Hamlin. But Denny Hamlin is, I don't think, ever won at this track. It's just not really his track. You know, I love Denny Hamlin. I would pick him every week. But let me switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, I got you.
I love you, Denny Hamlin. You know you're my boy. But this week, I'm not going to give you Denny Hamlin. I'm going to give you, as my long shot, Martin Truex Jr. in the Toyota car.
All right. My number two?
Let's go with your number two.
All right. Number two. We just talked about him. And I would have had him at number one, but there's a certain stat keeping him out of my number one. Number two, you just said his name, Denny Hamlin.
Right.
Okay. I can't bet against Denny Hamlin. And if he doesn't, I mean, it's shock to me. I'm shocked that he's not my number one. I'm the type. When it comes to NASCAR for me, I don't have as much knowledge as you do, but with this, I would bet number one Denny Hamlin all the time. But like, there's a certain stat keeping him at number one this week, at this particular race. But I can't bet against Denny. For me, that's like, as a 49ers fan, betting against CMC.
Yeah.
For me. So I can't bet against Denny Hamlin, but he's my number two.
No, and that's why I apologize. You know he's my favorite racer. I love him. And I usually pick him every week, but this week let me switch it up.
I got you.
And like I said, he's never won at this track. Atlanta isn't his track.
Yeah, I got you. It's not like the Daytona 500 where he's been there, done that.
Yeah, he's one of the GOATs at the 500.
Yeah, the Atlanta 400, not really his forte.
No, not at all. I do like that as your second pick.
Yeah, I know.
My second pick, I brought up the Fords earlier. I really like the Fords at this track, on this racetrack. And my second is going to be Brad Keselowski at plus 1,300. He probably had maybe the best race last week to me out of almost everybody, maybe besides Denny Hamlin. I liked when he pitted. I liked the way his car was looking. I liked how everything was looking in that race. I know your dad actually bet on Keselowski. And he was looking real good. If he didn't get wrecked, I could almost guarantee he would have been first or second with Denny Hamlin. He was riding real good in the race, and it sucked that William Byron wrecked everybody. I know. You know, and he rides in Jeff Gordon's old car. I did say that a Hendrick car would probably win this race and has a really good chance. So I was right on that last week, but we both picked Larson instead of Byron.
Yeah.
And Larson was one of those cars in that top eight as well that got
tragic
because of Byron. I've never seen the top eight guys go out like that, and there was one, the guy that caused the wreck, to get past and win the race on a caution. It was just kind of a bitch thing, you know?
It was.
And it was disappointing. I don't know if he did it on purpose that he did. F you. Pisses me off. But I like Keselowski at plus 1,300. I know, you know, the poll hasn't came out yet, so we're giving you our picks a little early. But at the same time, that doesn't always mean everything, whatever, wherever you start. I've seen guys come back. If it's their track, they'll come back from 35 and win the damn thing. Mm-hmm. If it's if they can race good there, Kozlowski's won there before. I like Kozlowski. That's my number two.
I like that. Now, oh man, big. My number one. He doesn't have the – he's another guy we mentioned before. It physically hurts me to say this, but again, a certain stat is putting him at number one over my boy Denny Hamlin. I feel like I'm stabbing a knife in Denny Hamlin's back, but my number one is William Byron.
Yeah.
It's him. Again, I don't know much about NASCAR, but I saw one stat about him that makes me think this that he's going to win again, just like he did at the Daytona at the 500. And that is 2 years. Last year and the year before, the winner of the day of that Atlanta 400 was that man, William Byron.
Yep.
I feel like, you know, this is his race. This is his, you know, how Denny Hamlin's forte is the Daytona 500. This is William Byron's forte. This is his zone. This is his, you know, he's in his element here, and he's coming off of, you know, he's coming off of such a high at the Daytona 500. He might carry, I think he's going to carry that momentum into the Atlanta 400. William Byron, he's my number one betting odds. But, oh, it guts me to say, to pick him over Denny Hamlin, even especially after what he did last week.
Yeah, definitely. I would have had William Byron as my one if he didn't do what he did last week. I know I shouldn't bet with my heart, but the chances of him winning another race, too, is tough to win two races in a row. Although this is his track. This is probably more his track than anybody else. Yeah. I see why he should be the favorite. I don't know. I don't think he is exactly.
No,
think,
he isn't.
I think Hamlin is. Or no, actually, Logano is. But yeah. Byron, he should be the favorite, honestly, probably to me. He always does great at this track. Like you said, he's won a race there 2 years in a row. A lot of it was what's bothering me is last week. And I don't like betting on racers, especially as my number one to win two races in a row.
I got you.
I respect that. I definitely respect you having him as your number one. He just killed me last week, man. It was tough to see. This brings me to my one. I like Joey Logano at this race. Once again, he's driving in the Ford car. I'm not the biggest fan of Logano. I know a lot of people don't like him. Grew up rich, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's not a real racer. He is a real racer. He is good. And he looked real good last week as well. He won the pole last week. He was another one of them guys that were in that top eight that got wrecked that was looking really good. Wouldn't be surprised if he won the race. He is a favorite at plus 1,000 currently. And he won a race there in 2023. You know, Byron did as well. But Logano won the most recent race there. And I like Logano at plus 1,000. I mean, I feel like he's got to be one of your three if you're going to really bet on this race. And yeah, I like Joey Logano as my favorite, man.
All right. I respect that.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to call our boy, former Texas Rangers pitcher, Danny Hoban. And we're going to talk some NBA. We're going to give you our top three picks for MVP. And we're going to give you our top three picks for the NBA title. So we're going to talk some basketball. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Does your windshield have a crack? Trust Safelite. This customer had auto glass damage, but he was busy working from home. So he scheduled with Safelite in just a few clicks. We came to his house. Then we got to work. We replaced his windshield and installed new wipers to protect his new glass. While he finished his meeting, let Safelite come to you.
Looks great. Thank you.
My pleasure. That's service on your time. Schedule now.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
And we are back.
Back.
And just like I promised you, I got the former Texas Ranger pitcher back on the podcast. We got Danny Hoban with us.
What's up, guys?
What's going on? What's going on? We got Cousin Bubby with us this time. I know you guys haven't met yet, so Cousin Bubby, hey. Danny Hoban, Cousin Bubby.
Hey, howdy, hey. I'm still here.
Yo, Cousin Bubby. Hey, yo, and I told K9 this last time because you guys had a show and you were giving your picks with the 49ers for the Super Bowl and you guys had some prop bets and some parlays and all this stuff going. And I said, dude, I said, who's the other guy that's talking with you right now? It's like Like, you have a great voice. You talk great. You're very clear. You're educated on the game.
Oh,
and I'm
my
not
God.
To,
oh.
Dude, I know, dude. K-9 hates this shit. Whatever. Yo, but I'm serious, man. You got a great voice for this, so I'm excited to finally meet you and for us to chat.
Hey, it's an honor that I'm talking with a former MLB, you know, pitcher, you know, somebody who's studied a game that he's grew up, you know, spent most of his life, you know, pursuing. It's just great to talk to somebody who, you know, who's been around the ropes in the professional world that they are pursuing since they were very young. And, you know, again, I'm pursuing something like that. It's not really in any sports or anything, but, you know, I'm pursuing stuff like that in the theater world. So, you know, it's nice to be able to hear stuff like that from somebody who's been around the ropes in the profession that they love so much and give most of their life for.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, K-9, you're great too, okay?
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. Just listening to you two say that, it made me want to run my head through the wall and just go nuts and rip my t-shirt off. So,
oh boy.
You guys did enough for me. I don't need any compliments. All right, so we brought you actually on to talk basketball today, though, not Whoa. Baseball. I think Whoa. We might do some baseball stuff tomorrow, me and you, but we want to talk some basketball. The All-Star break just ended. Give me your opinion on the All-Star weekend. What was your opinion of that, Danny?
Man, you know what? And we didn't even talk about this question before we started, and I'm so happy that you said this. Because
I know.
Man, it's my brother and I just talked about this yesterday. So, you know, the talent's great. You know, the dunk contest I thought was cool. And it's not always cool. Normally, the dunk contest is, you know, some guys really want it. Some guys don't really want it. Some guys try to get too creative, and it's just kind of silly. And then you have someone like Mac McClung, or however you say his name, going and dunking over Shaq. And that's a true dunk over Shaq. That wasn't like he used his shoulder to prop himself up. I mean, that dude can jump out of the gym. So that, I thought overall the All-Star weekend was decent. Hands down, the best thing was Steph Curry taking on that WNBA player on the three-point contest. I'm not a WNBA fan. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's one of the hardest things for me to watch. But that in particular, and that Caitlin Clark girl that goes to the University of Iowa, both those shooters like are fun to watch to me. Very entertaining. And she almost beat Steph Curry. That's like incredible. So I thought that was awesome. I think that did a lot for the WNBA. And yeah, I thought that was great. But my biggest complaint out of everything.
Oh boy.
Oh no. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, but in Major League Baseball, and my time frame might be off a little bit, but 2010 to like 2013 or whatever the year was, it was for like 2 or 3 years. You know, their All-Star games played in the middle of the year. They don't play it at the end or whatever. They play it right at the halfway point. And they used to have it to where if you, American League versus National League, like it still is, but whoever won the All-Star game got to host the World Series that year. So if the National League won the All-Star game and the Arizona Diamondbacks went to the World Series that year, 4 of the 7 home games would be played in Arizona, and the other 3 would be played on whoever's representing the American League. So the game mattered, is my point. Like, that was the coolest thing. I mean, you had managers that were stealing button guys over, the reserves that were sitting on the bench, like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to get to play in my first All-Star game. The manager's like, no, we're trying to win this shit. And I think that's awesome. Like, that's how it should be. Now, basketball and football are a little different, especially football, because you can't have, like, a serious Pro Bowl and guys getting hurt and, like, ruining their careers and shit. Like, I get it. Now, should we go out and play flag football? I don't think so. Absolutely not. But no. I think the NBA, I mean, when Kobe was in it and Allen Iverson and Jordan, I mean, they took it seriously. I don't know if you guys remember when I think it was Kobe and who was the other guy? They were going 3 for 3 towards the end of the game. Kobe hit a 3. The other guy went down, hit a 3, tied it. Kobe went down, hit another 3. The other, and I was like, they were trying to win the game. These days, is it cool to see Luka and Jokic and their camaraderie and them getting along and having fun and all this stuff? Yeah, that's all great for the game and everything. But the competitiveness is obviously nothing, not there. I mean, you got Damian Lillard draining 3s from half court. That's pretty badass. You know, but overall, I wish it was more competitive. I don't have an answer of how to make it more competitive, so I've got a problem without a solution. But I just wish it was more competitive, and I wish these guys wanted to win more. That's the only thing. But I thought overall it was okay.
Got to go knock on Adam Silver's door.
Yeah, Definitely.
Yeah, we gotta get him on the pod, actually.
Yeah, that'll be easy. Dude, I agree with everything you just said. Like, you literally took the words out of my mouth. Like, I know this kind of sounds stupid. I feel like I don't gotta say anything now.
Yeah.
The Steph Curry versus a girl 3-point contest was by far the best part of it. It was amazing. When that girl started and she hit like the first 10 shots in a row, I'm like, she might beat Steph.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Steph guy. So, but I'm like, no, Steph ain't gonna lose this. He's gonna get hot. There's no way he's gonna lose to the girl. Because the girl, you could tell by the look on her face, she was serious.
Mm-hmm.
She was ready like to shank somebody in the neck about that shit.
Oh, boy.
That was the best part. And what you said about the baseball, I thought back to the same thing. I remembered when the All-Star game in baseball, whoever won that game got to be the home team in the World Series. And I thought about that as being a solution for the NBA. I don't know if they would ever do it.
Mm-hmm.
But... Cousin Bubby, what are your remarks on the All-Star weekend?
I just got to say, James Harden should have been in it.
Ooh. Snubbed?
Snubbed.
Danny, what do you think about James Harden this year? Is he an All-Star? Should be?
Yeah, he should have been an All-Star. You know, and that's the problem, you know, with the voting system and all that stuff. Am I a James Harden fan? I'm not. I think he's a punk. I think he's a terrible teammate. But he's one of the greatest shooters to ever play in the NBA. And I think that he has to – I think just to have him on the team. I mean, there's nothing better than when LeBron and KD got to draft who they wanted and no one wanted James Harden. I don't know if you guys remember that. He was the last pick. So that was hilarious. So, like, I get it. He's not loved in the NBA, but he is – he's a great player, and I think he should have been there for sure.
Okay. Come on. I got Danny Hoban agreeing with me. Come on, voters.
Cousin Bubby's a big Clippers fan, if you haven't noticed.
Big.
Nice.
He's a diehard Clippers fan.
Hey, that's cool. Being a Clippers fan is like being a Cubs fan.
Oh.
Like every year you have the shot to win it, and you should win it, but you never do.
Yeah. And just like the Cubs, the Clippers have had such an unlucky history with their franchise. It's not even funny. I mean, we're not the worst franchise. I don't think we're the worst franchise in NBA history, but I think we're definitely the unluckiest with just how.
I love that they're building their own stadium. Like, you got to get out of Staples Center, man.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. Every time you share that with the Lakers, you're always going to be the little brother. Like, you're never going to be. And so I definitely agree. I think it's the same thing. Like, you're in LA. The money's there, and they're signing big guys. It's not like ownership doesn't give a shit. They're signing a lot of people. They're putting together super teams. So I would love to see. And for, just so everyone knows, I'm an NBA fan, but do I follow it every single day? No. But like Russell Westbrook, like I've always been a Westbrook fan. Like, I think I think should do more this year. I did a parlay the other day on some players, and it was like, over under 6.5 points for Russell Westbrook, and I was like, "What the fuck?" I know you got more of that than what you're showing. You could at least get foul and go to the line, like as aggressive as he is or whatever. But I like the Clippers. I like Kawhi. I like Paul George is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He reminds me of like a Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter.
I put
him in that class because he can hit threes, he can dunk on anyone, he's got athleticism through the roof, but for some reason just hasn't put together like an MVP type caliber season. But I would love to see that. I was just talking shit when I said the Cubs and Clippers. I was just, you know, throwing a jab there for sure, but I would love to see them win it.
Yeah, I mean, and I also Kawhi is like my favorite player in the NBA. Before he even went to the Clippers, he was my favorite player because of what he did for Toronto and all his years of being, you know, incredible with the Spurs, but then he went to LA and then he just, you know, he's unanimously my favorite player. So yeah, everything about the Clippers. Yeah. I'm, you know, and the fact that right now they're not the favorite, but they're one of the favorites to win the championship. It makes me feel great. We're no longer the Lakers baby brother anymore.
No, that's awesome. Hey, and real quick, we should give a shout out to Sabrina Loneskew. That's the chick that took on Steph Curry. We keep saying, oh, Steph Curry, and she shot against that girl. That's fucked up. I can't say her last name, but I know she plays for the New York Liberty. Sabrina Loneskew. There we go. Nailed it.
Yeah. Shout out Sabrina.
Shout out Sabrina.
Just in case she tunes in, she's going to be pissed, but you never know.
Yeah, and that, I saw that quote that she she did the interview afterwards. I saw that quote everywhere on Instagram. I'm like, yeah, that I'm not gonna lie, it got me in the feels. You know, her talking about how it meant to, you know, again, how big this was for the WNBA. So, you know, yeah, I gotta give her credit. You know, she got me in the feels. You know. So, yeah, shout out Sabrina.
Yeah, but if she would have won, I would have remembered her name.
I'm not going to...
Oh, my God. So true, dude. So true.
Yeah. True.
She wasn't that good. She was good. But...
Does this mean I'm going to be tuning into some WNBA games tonight? No, it does not. But I thought it was a good first step for them. And I'm excited to see when Caitlin Clark, dude, I mean, that girl... I'm telling you, man, she's the GOAT, and she's only in college, in my opinion. That's a huge accusation, but I'm just saying.
Well, big take, big take.
Watch out, Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, Lisa Leslie. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Dude, if you watch Lisa Leslie handle the ball and shoot jump shots, Caitlin Clark, and maybe it's because I'm comparing their style and their shoot, the way they shoot the ball and the way they dribble the ball. I'm comparing it to guys because that's all I grew up watching was the NBA. And to me, Caitlin Clark. When she's crossing people over and hitting NBA style threes, you forget you're watching for a second. You forget you're watching a girl shoot the ball. That sounds super misogynistic, but that's just the truth. She's got some crazy skills, and I'm excited to see where she's gonna go. But yeah, this was a good first step for the WNBA, like you guys said.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've ever watched a women's basketball game. I hate to sound sexist, but I just can't do it. I'm sorry. You know, it is what it is. But the reason I know Lisa Leslie is Backyard Sports. When they used to have it for the computer, dude. She was on the basketball version of the game.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I knew Lisa Leslie was up there.
Bubby says, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
You ever play that game? Like that little dude with the hat backwards in the baseball version? He was nuts, dude.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Oh, man, I love that game. Shout out Lisa Leslie.
Yeah, and I know Diana Taurasi because if I had to root for – again, I barely watch any NBA, WNBA, if at all. But if I had to root for a team, I don't know why, but it's the Phoenix Mercury. It's probably because of the fact that, you know, right now, if you had to say one name of the WNBA, who is the Michael Jordan MJ GOAT of the WNBA, the first thing name you think of most likely is Diana Taurasi.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say it's the two that you guys said, Lisa Leslie or Diana Taurasi, or that chick that got fucking arrested in Russia for smoking weed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's
Brittany Griner.
Yeah, she's a beast, dude.
Yeah, Brittany Griner.
I'm a big fan of her.
Didn't she try to say she could beat DeMarcus Cousins 1-on-1?
Yeah.
Yes, dude.
She was crazy about that. Yeah.
Stop with that shit.
Stop. Not Boogie, bro. Boogie, he don't care, bro. You piss him off, he's going to push your ass, bro.
Yeah, dude. You know, and that conversation right there, could you take, some people come out and say, could the best high school men's boys, whatever you want to call it, basketball team beat a WNBA team? We'll never know because they'll never play. Because if the NBA, if the boys basketball team in high school beat a WNBA, then they're just might as well close the doors on the WNBA because no one's
over.
For sure going to watch now.
Over.
But it's the same thing. I've had conversations with people at work numerous times, and it drives me insane. And this is a little off topic, but I want to know your guys' opinion. Before I give you mine, I want to know yours. Do you guys think that back when Alabama, 3-4 years ago, before players were getting paid and all these things, do you think the best Alabama team, in the last 10 years, could beat the worst NFL team?
We've talked about this a little bit when I had Miz on the podcast, and we compared LSU's championship team. And we both said that LSU team could probably beat the worst NFL team. Now, Alabama, I don't know if Alabama has a team that could compare with that LSU team. That LSU team, I think, in my opinion, is the best college team ever.
Go Tigers.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, any college team. I just said Alabama because they have won so many.
Right.
Any college team. So if you want to say LSU, Bubby, what do you think?
Honestly, I think, yeah, I think they could. I mean, but I also know, when it comes to, college versus NFL, the schemes and the coaching's very, very different. In college, you can get away with calling certain plays, over and over. You can get away with so many formations. And when the NFL, they're not as lenient as that. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, even though it's a lot of 20, 21-year-olds versus, you know, grown-ass men, I think that LSU team, you know, Joe Burr,
Ja'Marr Chase, Justin, the star power. I think they could have, you know, beaten the 2008 Detroit Lions.
I was going to say the Detroit Lions. How funny that you said that, because they at one point were the worst NFL team, like, ever. Let me give you my opinion. I think the score, if we were placing a bet, would be 70-10, and I think the NFL team would shit all over that LSU college team. This is what I told people at work. I'm like, you guys got to remember that NFL players, whether they're on the worst team or not, they were still the cream of the college crop. And I'm not talking 5 or 6 of them or even 10 of them. I'm talking how many guys are on a team, 52 or whatever. All 52 guys on that NFL team were the cream of the college crop, let alone talk about if the Lions were so bad so many years in a row. They had a bunch of first-round picks, top 10 picks, like all these things. My opinion, and it's hard when you have debates like this because we'll never see it. Like, are we ever going to see a college team go play some NFL team? No. No one would ever do that, because what if they get hurt and blah, blah, blah. And same with the high school basketball team taking it on an NBA team, WNBA team. We're never going to see that either, so it's a fun conversation to have. But my opinion is any NFL team, 0-16, like whoever, the Panthers this year, like I think they would shit all over it, the best college team. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I respect that take. The only team I can think of, though, that would give a team a run for their money, and I think it would be a close game, is that LSU team. That LSU team,
for sure.
I think almost every starter on that team's in the NFL just about. I mean, I'm pretty sure Devin White was on that team on the defense. I mean, they were so stacked, it was crazy.
Yeah, Derek.
Well, the first three guys you said, freaking Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, that right there is star power alone. But then you think offensive linemen, can they take on Detroit's defensive line back in 2008? I mean, you're right. Sending safety blitzes at Joe Burrow, and I don't know. It'd be so cool if that could ever happen, but it just never will.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But that's the only team I can think of. I don't think any of those Alabama teams would stand a chance. I don't know.
Yeah, I forget about that. I don't know why.
To get even more hypothetical, you could even do LSU's offense 2019 and put like a recency bias, whatever, Michigan's defense this year.
Yeah, if you could have like an offense. I like that.
Yeah, you have that.
That would be awesome.
Then it'd be even closer. Maybe it'll be like, maybe be like if, in Danny Hoban's case, maybe like 42-17 the 17.
Yeah, or that Georgia defense with Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith. Oh, they were a tough defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be pretty cool. But we got you on here to talk NBA, man. What's going on?
I know. We're talking about everything. We're talking about the WNBA more than we are the NBA. We got to switch it up here.
All right. Yeah, so let's do our NBA. And I'm going to ask everybody, we're going to take turns. We're going to give you 3 MVP picks, and we're going to give you their odds. I'll just go right into it and get us started. So for MVP this year, my 3rd pick, he's going to be my long shot. I'm going to have a long shot as my 3rd pick. And I'm going to pick Jason Tatum. And here's why. He's at plus 5,000, which I think is a little crazy. He's the best player on the best team in the NBA. And usually, in most sports, that's who gets that award.
That is true. My only one rebuttal, though, is that there's still plenty of NBA to be played, and there is still time for the Celtics to no longer be the best team in the NBA.
Right, but as of right now, he's at plus 5,000, which is pretty crazy. I think the value is what I really like with this. Do I think he's going to win it at the end of the day? No, but to have him at plus 5,000, I think is ludicrous.
I think that is a good long shot, the more I think about it.
That is a good long shot, yeah.
Cousin Bubby, you want to give us your 3?
Yeah, my long shot as well. I know, Clippers fans, screw you. I got Kawhi Leonard, plus 20,000.
Wow.
Do I think he's going to win it deep down? No, but plus 20,000, give it a shot.
That's crazy.
The claw.
Yeah, and just for everybody listening, when you hear... Because when I got into sports betting like 3 or 4 years ago, my brother's telling me about over-unders, -6.5 versus +6.5. I'm like, how do you score a half point? So if the odds are 20,000, plus 20,000, that means if you bet $100 for Kawhi to win the MVP right now and he ends up winning it, then your $100 turns into $20,000.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, you can get a house now.
Yeah.
You can move out of mama's house and get you a down payment on a nice little house right there.
There you go.
100%. Yep.
All right, Danny, who you got as your third, man?
So, okay, I did take a long shot, but when we're talking about the finals winners, I have a long shot in the MVP. It's not much of a long shot, but I almost put him at number two, or I can't put anybody – I don't want to give away my number one pick, so I can't put give away anybody. Like, I can't put this guy in front of my number one pick, but number three pick, I put Giannis. And I could – you could put him higher because I think that conversation – that I don't know if you guys saw All-Star Weekend with Shaq talking to Damian Lillard, talking about how they're too nice, and him saying, you guys winning, you know, three of your last seven games or whatever the numbers were. He's like, you guys are too talented. You got to be – he was basically letting him know – like, you guys got to compete. You got to get pissed off. You got, and Giannis has that X factor that sometimes we talk about in sports, which is the, it almost looks like anger. It almost looks like he feels like Russell Westbrook has it. You know, Michael Jordan had it, that killer instinct. Now, Giannis doesn't show it all the time, but I feel like that conversation with Damian Lillard over the weekend, I think, will really spark Giannis. I think the next couple games that he starts to play, he's going to come out pissed off. And he's going to put up some big numbers. He's already averaging 31 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists, which doesn't really compete with the number one guy. But I do think, as my number three pick, I think Giannis has a shot to do some things, especially with Doc Rivers coaching them now. So I don't know. That's my number three pick.
Okay.
All right. I will say I like that. But for me, I'm scared. Me personally, I'm scared of Giannis only because of, you talked about it earlier, but I just, yeah, for me personally, I'm scared when it, of the, not scared of in terms of like, there's like, look out for them. I meant like, I'm scared for the Bucks and let, you know, I don't know. I think something about how their slow start with Doc Rivers. And again, I know a lot about Doc Rivers, you know, he was a coach for the Clippers once upon a time, and he was great, you know, and all that, but no longer there because, you know, but I don't know. I just, that's the way Doc Rivers is coaching that team is, it's very weird. It just feels like they're not really playing to their players' strengths. So that's the only thing that scares me about Giannis winning the MVP, but I definitely can see him getting it if he turns it up after that All-Star break.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's just, they are scary. It's like a head scratcher. Every time you look up, like they're losing another game, and you're like, all right, let them get figured out. Let them get familiar with one another. But at some point, the play, like Shaq said, the players got to step in and be like, you know what? Screw this. Like, we are two of the, in my opinion, him and Damian Lillard, two top 10 players on the same team, not even including the other players built around them. And now you got Doc. At some point, the players got to turn it up. And, you know, Doc's getting used to these guys, how to coach them, what plays to run, what schemes to run, just like you said. So I agree with you right now. Every time I look up and they're losing, I'm like, how? Like, how are they losing to this team? Like, I don't understand. So it is scary, but who knows? I guess anything can happen.
All right, well, let's go snake draft style with these. Danny, who's your number two?
Ooh.
So my number two, and he's my favorite player in the NBA, is Luka Doncic.
Ooh, my boy.
He's averaging 34 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists on the year. He's got, it's his career high. His third, it's actually like 33.8, I think, is what he's averaging. That's his career high. And he is just, to me, and for some reason, he's got a handful of hate of like fans that don't like him. I've always liked him. I mean, I know I live in Texas or whatever, but to me, he doesn't seem like somebody that's, you know, everywhere he goes, everyone loves him. Like, opposing teams like him. Everyone speaks highly of him at the All-Star game. Everyone was, you know, going up, talking to him. They're saying that he's, you know, the next great thing to happen to the NBA. And I agree. So I think that with him and Kyrie, you know, I think that's, he could be number one right now on my list, but I have him at number two. And his odds, I keep forgetting to say my odds, is a plus 900.
Okay. Plus 900. That's pretty good for Luka.
Mm-hmm.
That's still pretty good odds. Cousin Bubby, who you got at two?
All right. At number two, I was debating between putting him at number two and number one. He currently has the second highest odds. I wanted to put him at number one, but it's just, with the team he's on and the fact that they don't really get that much love nationally, I had to put him at number two. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, former LA Clipper. I was so upset when I, you know, when he got traded and I saw him just become an absolute menace on the OKC Thunder. You know, I mean, yes, he only played one season for the Clippers, or like a season and a half or whatever it was, but the fact that he went from that to now being an MVP caliber in the Clippers kind of like bums me out. But man, you can't deny what he's been doing with that team around him. And I mean, the whole OKC Thunder team as a whole, I mean, absolutely unbelievable that they're able to pull off what they've been able to pull off with the players they have. I mean, Shea being an MVP is just unbelievable. I would have had him at number one, but I think favoritism a little bit kind of took him off the number one spot, but I still think at the odds of him winning it at +350, I love those odds. And if it weren't for if it weren't for favoritism, he'd be my number one, but he's my number two.
And that brings me to my number two. I got Shea at number two as well at +350. I mean, he's averaging 31 points a game, 5 boards, 6.5 assists. They're the number two team in the West, which I think is crazy to say. The Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, one of the worst teams in the NBA for a while, yeah, is now number two. It sounds crazy to say. And a lot of fans probably don't even know anybody else but Shea on that team. Yeah. But they're number two in the West right now. And the West is, you know, a tough, obviously, yeah, probably tougher than the East. Do I think OKC is going to win the title? No. But do I think there is a chance that Shea wins MVP this year?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Especially, yeah, with the way he's leading that team, which for the most part has been a dumpster fire. Other than the trades they've made and, you know, stocked up all them draft picks,
yeah,
they've used them wisely. Mm-hmm. Great management. They've definitely turned things around. There's a very bright future in Oklahoma City.
Definitely.
So that's my two.
And with that pick, too, on both you guys, you know, if you're not a diehard NBA fan, and if you don't live in Oklahoma City, you probably don't even know who Shea is. Like, that's the thing. He's like another Kawhi Leonard. He's top three, top four NBA, top five, whatever, NBA talent, and nobody knows who the guy is. He's quiet. He does his job. My brother went and sat for his birthday last year, or I don't remember when it was, but his wife bought him courtside tickets to the Denver Nuggets, where they live in Denver or whatever, and they were playing Oklahoma City. And it's funny because my brother put like $500 on the Nuggets winning, and he was trying to win big on his birthday. And then Shea had like a fantastic game, and my brother lost $500. But
damn,
because the Oklahoma City won. But Shea, dude, he shuts his mouth. He doesn't talk shit. He gets the job done, and he's top five NBA player right now. Like, that, he does not get it. On my opinion, number one underrated player in the NBA easily, because no one talks about him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I respect
that. He's definitely the most underrated. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Okay, so this brings me my number one. And I know I said last week Jalen Brunson is my favorite player in the NBA and favorite player to watch, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized I made a mistake. My favorite player and the player I think is going to win his third total MVP is the Joker at +200. You know, he is just the best player in the NBA to me. I think he's one of the best players ever. He's almost averaging a triple-double. I mean, I know people say that Denver is a really good team around him. I think some of them guys are kind of overrated. I think he really does carry the team. I know Jamal Murray is a good second piece, but other than Jamal Murray, I don't really see any of them other guys being the help that people think they are. I really think the Joker is carrying this team. He especially is this year. With Jamal Murray kind of having a down year to me. I really like the Joker at +200. I think they're probably the hardest team to beat in the NBA on a night-by-night basis, and I think he's the best player in the NBA currently and one of the best players ever. Already in my eyes, he's a top 10 player ever already to me. So he's won two MVPs in a row. He should have won it last year. They didn't want him to win it. He would have been the first player ever to win three in a row. So they couldn't do it, but I think he'll get his third this year. So that's my number one.
And you nailed it perfectly. The way you talk about the Denver Nuggets, too. Like, Murray is a great number two, like you said. He's a badass, whatever. But, like, other than that, you know, it's, you know, above-average players, but no one that is carrying that team. And that's the thing about MVP, most valuable player, like, to a team and in the NBA, and it's got to be Jokic. That's an easy number one. That's my number one pick also. So that's an easy number one pick. And, you know, the whole thing with him is he – he can take over the game at any point. And it's you know, they talk about guys that came up in the NBA that changed the game. Like, he changed the game. He's this center that has handles, who can hit threes at whatever he wants. He's mean down low, rebound, averaging a triple-double, basically, like you said, like, in an NBA season, is crazy. Yeah, he's my number one pick, and that's an easy one. And imagine if he tried. That doesn't even look like he's trying, dude. Imagine if he tried.
He's worried about his horses, man. He's trying to get back home to his horses, man.
Dude, it's crazy.
Cousin Bubby, do you have anybody but the Joker at one?
I do.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's go. Let's make this podcast interesting. And we're not even doing this.
If it wasn't already.
Yeah, I know. We made these lists before we did this, so it's not like we're just doing this for the podcast. That's awesome. Who you got at one?
I got a number one. I'm letting Danny Hoba know this. I said this last week, but, you know, obviously Kawhi is my number one player, but my number two favorite player in the NBA I talked about last week, and again, I know, any point at everything, you know, aligning of Joker being the third MVP, but I don't know, something in my gut is telling me that this man is going to win the MVP and lead that team. It's my number one is Luka at plus 900. I don't know what it is, but I got Luka. I know, like, a lot of, like, the odds are, like, right now, who is the favorite, but I also think about, like, again, like I said before, there's still a lot of NBA to play. There's still a lot of time for, you know, somebody to, like, go down with an injury, or maybe somebody to, like, not do as well as they did at before the All-Star. I think Luka, coming out of this All-Star break, is going to absolutely be a menace and turn it up. He's going to go to that seventh gear. I think that he's going to just absolutely just go crazy. And again, it could be favoritism because, again, Luka's my second favorite player in the NBA, and I love the way he plays. And also, yes, I know he doesn't play defense really that much, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like when you play offense as good as him, you don't really need defense. But I don't know. I feel like, and one of you talked about Jokic and his ability to just take over the game at any point. Luka does that too. And the thing with Luka is that, like, you know, that might be a hot take, but I think Luka, you know, with his offense, goes crazier with his shooting ability and it just his confidence and his just poise and his swagger. I think, you know, when Luka takes over, like, good luck stopping him. It's pretty much just him and only him on the court, and none of the other five guys can take him out. And, you know, we've seen that before. We've seen that this year. We've seen the year prior. We've seen it all throughout Luka's career, that at any point he can just drill threes like it just like he's a freaking robot. And I think this after the All-Star break, Luka's going to come in and just take over and become the MVP.
Yeah, and listen, to add on to that real quick, if you look at the big three, if we're not talking blocks, if we're not talking some of the, like, steals or any of those stats, his numbers are better than Jokic. I mean, he's averaging 34 points to Jokic's 26. He's averaging 9 rebounds and 9 assists, and Jokic is averaging 12 rebounds and 9 assists. So to me, a plus 900 is insane. Like, that's crazy. That's a bet that I'm not kidding. I just went to – so in Texas, you can't legally bet, so I have to go to this site called Bovada.
not Bovada. Third
party.
Dude, let me tell you, when you win and you cash out, they send you a check from, like, Sweden or something. Like, the first time I ever won, dude, I took my check to the bank and my hand was, like, shaking when I gave it to the lady. And she was just, like, looking at me, and it went through and everything was cool. But yeah, if you go, I just went on to Bovada and said, man, what if I throw $50 on Luka winning the MVP? Because, like I said earlier, I don't know if you guys remember, but when I was talking about Luka, I said he was almost my number one. So he is another guy that, like you said, can take over the game at any moment, at any point. And he's got that X factor too. Like, when him and Devin Booker go at it and he gets pissed off and he talks shit and he just smiles in people's faces. I mean, that dude is he's a total badass. So, and it's funny because if you did a fantasy draft on, like, you know, NBA 2K, like, my number one overall pick would probably be Luka. Like, I think I would take him over Joker. So that's a great pick. And I kind of wish I would have gone number one with him, but I just think Jokic is as the slight edge, but Luka's a great pick.
I love Luka. I think he's the second best player in the NBA. The only reason why I didn't have him on my list is because I know team success goes a lot into the MVP vote. Now, I could see Dallas ending up being like a 7 seed, honestly, just because of the team success. I know Luka is, you know, one of the best players in the NBA. That's the only thing that scared me about betting on him. But
yeah.
One of the great things about Florida now is we have legal sports betting here.
Yeah, Hard Rock is legal in Florida.
And we got medical marijuana, so you might as well just come to Florida.
That's the thing about Texas. They don't give a shit about anything. You can go to Walmart right now and buy a shotgun and just with your driver's license. Like, no background check, like nothing. You just go in there, buy a gun, no big deal. But then, like, you can't smoke weed here and you can't bet on sports. And I'm like, what's the disconnect? I don't understand. So, yeah, must be nice living out in Florida, too.
Yeah, so just send me the money. I'll put the bet in for you. And, you know, a little tip would be nice if it hits.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go into our title winners. Let's start with you, Danny. Who's going to be your number three to win the NBA title this year and take home the chip?
So, at plus 2,300, and this is kind of my sleeper pick that we talked about when we were talking MVP. So this is my sleeper pick. My number three is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ooh.
So I think with Anthony Towns, and I think with Edwards, I mean, people forget Anthony Edwards was number one overall pick. Like, people forget that how athletic and how good he is and the team that's surrounding those guys. So that's my number three pick is the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think they can do a lot of damage once it comes to the playoffs.
The odds are crazy for that, for a number one team.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. First seed in the conference, plus 2,300.
With the odds, you just almost got to take it.
Has that ever happened before?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. But even if you throw $10 on them winning it, you win $230.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Might as
well throw $10 on them winning the whole thing. I mean, why not?
Yeah, on a number one team, mm-hmm. And that's crazy. Wow. I really like the Timberwolves. Like you said, the Ant-Man's great. Gobert, I feel like maybe should be Defensive Player of the Year if we were going to give our picks on that. It's just I don't trust the Timberwolves. I almost feel like it would be kind of throwing away money. The odds are great, but I just can't bring it to myself that the Timberwolves would win the title.
Right.
Even winning a playoff series is almost a little hard for me to question. If they went up to a number eight seed like the Warriors or the Lakers, I don't know if they could beat either one of those teams in a playoff series.
Agreed.
So I do like the odds, though. I do like that as a long shot.
And that's exactly why the odds are plus 2,300 is I think Vegas understands that too. They see that they're number one and all these things, but there's just something different about them. Like if they're number one and you said if they face the Lakers or if they face Golden State or whatever, let's say they may even make it past that and they're going to have to take on, because they're in the West, right?
Yeah, they're in the West, yeah.
Yeah, so if they got to take on OKC, they might have to take on the Clippers, they might have to take on, you know, the Mavericks. I mean, it's hard to choose them. So I would have chosen OKC, or I would have chosen, you know, maybe even the Clippers as my number three over this. But I wanted to kind of throw in, and it's not much of a sleeper because they are number one, but their odds are just so high that it's like, you know, there's got to be something there and I think it's exactly what you say. Like, them going in the playoffs, like, talent-wise, fantastic. But that whole mentality and wanting it, like, I don't know if they have that X factor that we talk about, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they start losing a lot more games and kind of go on a cold streak.
Yeah.
They've been so hot.
Agreed.
All right, Bubby, who you got? Who's your long shot?
Ooh. You know, I'm gonna do a first time ever. For the first time, I'm not starting with my long shot. So at number three, I have my team, the Clippers, at plus 500. They don't have great. I mean, the great odds aren't that great, and I mean, I'm sure it sounds crazy. My favorite team in the NBA at one point were the number one seed, and it didn't last long. But you know, their team looks amazing. Kendrick Perkins thinks they're the favorite to win it. I don't know about that, Kendrick, but whatever.
Big Pert.
But yeah, plus 500, not good odds. And honestly, I'm at number three because again, the history with the Clippers the history Clippers have in the playoffs is not great. You know, they could have the best team in the league, but I mean, they proved it in 2019, 2020 in the bubble when, you know, playoff Paul, you know, they blew that 3-1 lead of the Nuggets. I almost stopped being a Clippers fan after that. It was crazy. I mean, they were like the second or third seed. You know, they almost lost to the Dallas Mavericks, but I mean, you can't, again, it was Luka, so whatever, but I mean, blowing that 3-1 lead sucked, and again, they just don't have any luck when it comes to the playoffs. The playoffs are like their worst enemy, almost, and I feel like, you know, as much as I kind of similar to what I said earlier, way back when the 49ers were favorites to win the Super Bowl, you know, something about this year, I just don't feel it, and that's why they're only number three, my favorite team, the Clippers, to win the championship.
Okay, I like that. I like the Clippers.
Yeah.
All right, my number three, it's my biggest long shot, and I've slept on this team. I think everybody else has slept on this team. Nobody really talks about them. They probably have, if you look at their lineup, maybe the best star-studded lineup in the NBA. That's the Phoenix Suns at plus 1,400.
Ooh.
They got KD, one of the best players ever. He's been in the news lately for saying that people should respect him more as a leader. I think this is big. I think he's making a statement by saying this and doing this. I think he is waking up the Phoenix Suns, almost like Shaq's trying to do with the Bucks. Devin Booker, I think, is one of the most slept-on players this year. He's been playing phenomenal when he's came back healthy. Beal's back healthy. I like their center. Nurkic, I mean, everybody is looking really good on this team. I know they've had some tough losses, but man, if playoff time comes around and they get hot and KD starts getting wet and everybody kind of schemes together and gets that chemistry right, I wouldn't be surprised if the Suns make a run at this. I wouldn't.
I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And that's the thing. I mean, how do we forget about the Suns? I mean, with Booker and KD and Beal, I mean, that's...
They got the best big three in the NBA. I mean, if you bring it down to big threes, the only one I could think maybe is close to me is the Greek Freak, Middleton, and Dame Time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any other big threes as good
I mean,
as
even
that.
As a Clippers fan, I can't compare Kawhi, PG, and Harden to that
right,
big three.
Yeah, that's another one that's good.
But I know, I still think Phoenix, yeah, has the better big three all around.
Yeah, that's a great pick. Man. And honestly, I'd rather throw 10 or 20 bucks on Phoenix going that far. Turn my 10 into 140. I mean, I'd rather do that than the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right. Yeah. I think the Suns can get hot, man. I definitely feel like they can get hot in the second half, especially now that the team's healthy. They really didn't have enough time with that big three to build chemistry yet. So I think there's definitely an opportunity and chance that's going to happen. All right. If we're doing snake draft again, I'll give you my two. At two, I had this team winning it preseason, so I might have messed up like I did with the Chiefs where I had them winning it preseason and I ended up switching it. I got the Milwaukee Bucks, man, at plus 650. Before the season started, I said the Bucks were going to win it all. I pretty much swore by it. The coaching issues have been really scaring me. I don't know if the team's motivated enough. I hope Shaq does get them pumped, like Danny said. I do think they're going to win the East. I do think they will beat Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I do have them losing to my current number one team. And, I mean, at plus 650, that's pretty good odds because I do think they're going to win the East and make it to the Finals. But that's my number two is the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's a great pick.
Bubby, who you got at two?
All right, at number two. Never done this before, but at number two is my long shot. I talked about this team last week briefly, but I'm going to go way more into it now. My long shot at number two instead of number three, this is crazy, the Cavaliers.
Whoa.
The Cavs, plus 2,500. I cannot – where do I even start with this team? I mean, I talked about how Donovan Mitchell is just absolutely having one of the biggest like career years ever. Dropped 72, 73. I mean – he's just come out of nowhere. And the fact that the rest of the Cavs, it's not just Don. I mean, we can kind of talk to them similarly about the Nuggets, where it's like You got Donovan Mitchell and then everybody else above average, but I think the rest of the team holds up. Darius Garland's a scoring machine. Jared Allen and Evan Mobley are great forwards. Evan Mobley's a great forwards. Jared Allen holds it down at center. I think right now the Cavs are, in my opinion, are the most slept on team in the league. I think they have the star power. They have the grit, the grind. They got the hunger. And Donovan Mitchell being that leader and being just an absolute menace on the court, I feel like this Cavs team is going to turn a bunch of heads. And I feel like, you know, I feel like they have what it takes to make a deep playoff run. And, you know, I think that, you know, I honestly think they're going to make the conference finals. I have them right now. Right now, I have them as, like, the long shot making it to the conference finals with my, I have them going to the conference finals. And you know what? I think they're going to go. I think they're going to take that the team, whoever makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals, to a seven-game series. I think it's going to be – if I had to make a bet right now for the conference finals, I would say Celtics and Cavs. Conference finals, I think the Cavs make it close.
Wow.
That's how high I am on the Cavs right now. I have them at my number two, two favorite to win. My long shot at number two, I think the Cavs are heavily slept on.
Okay.
That's a great pick. Yeah, that's a great – you know, Donovan Mitchell, up until this year, but before this year, he was another guy like Shea, dude. He was – people didn't talk about him enough. I'm like, dude, this guy is legit. He can hit threes. He can shit on anyone. He can dunk on people. I mean, this guy's a top 10 NBA player for sure. I mean, he's badass, and people don't talk – now they do, ever since he dropped 70 or whatever it was. But, like, yeah, that's a great pick. And the thing about Cleveland, too, is – the fans in Cleveland are diehard. I would put their fans, I mean, they're a little crazy, a little, you know, outside of the box. They're a little grungy for sure, but I would put them, you know, their fans showing up. I mean, what a great thing for them to be able to win an NBA title, like, without LeBron there. Like, that'd be badass for that city, too.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. Who you got at two, man? I'm interested in this one now.
Well, yeah, mine's the same as you. I got the Bucks. You know, and Bucks could be number one, you know, two. But, you know, if they figure it out with Doc, which they're going to, I just think they could really – I mean, they're on a little bit of a cold streak. They're learning how to play for him. They're going through some growing pains, whatever. But they're a team that you could look up in their last 15 games, they won 12 out of the last 15 easily. And no one would be surprised by that. So I think if they get hot, I mean, they don't even need to get hot with the talent that they have, but – imagine them getting hot right before the playoffs start. I mean, they could be sweeping teams throughout the playoffs. They're that good. So I've got the Bucks at number two at plus 650.
Okay. So we agree on that. Who you got at one, though?
Well, number one, and I kind of allowed the odds to push me into having them be number one because it's just kind of like the Patriots when they were so good for so long. It's just so hard to bet against, like, Belichick and Brady when they were in their prime. It's hard for me to bet against the Joker. I mean, it's hard. So I got the Nuggets going number one at plus 440. Just because of Jokic and the team chemistry, I think, is a lost art in the NBA. And the team chemistry that those guys have, I would put up against anyone. It seems like they would do anything for each other. They're just – the camaraderie on that team is huge, and I think that can carry you to extra wins towards the end of the season and throughout the playoffs. I mean, we see it all the time, especially in the NBA. We see it all the time. These super teams that are built. We saw the Lakers a couple of years ago when they had, I mean, they had Westbrook, they had LeBron, they had AD, they had all these like badass players, and they only won like 37 games. Like, so I think camaraderie and chemistry goes a long ways in the NBA, and I think the Nuggets have that. But they're another one of those teams that it's like, unless you watch the NBA, I mean, you know who Murray is, you know who Joker is, but other than that, I mean, I know who Gordon is because he had the dunk contest and little things that he's done in the playoffs and stuff like that. But other than that, they're just kind of a quiet team that people sometimes forget about. And so I think the Nuggets are gonna take it this year if I had to choose one.
I really like that. Bubby, who you got at one, man? Who's gonna take it this year?
I'm doubling down on Hoban. I also have the Nuggets at number one. Again, and I everything you said, absolutely. And but I do want to I want to track back a little bit. You know, I didn't have Jokic in my top three MVP, which, again, sounds crazy. I had them winning the chip, but Jokic not in my top three favorites to win. I don't think I want to say I think another big reason why is I think he's going to get the finals MVP. I kind of want, as much as I don't want to make this comparison because of how much I hate this player in the NFL, Joker reminds me of Mahomes. Regular season, you know, he'll be great, he'll be whatever, but when the playoffs hit, I think Joker turns it up to that eighth gear and he just goes insane, and he showed it in the past, you know, especially last year. I mean, he had one of the greatest playoff performances ever by a single NBA player, and I think Joker, you know, I think that this year Joker leads the Nuggets to another back-to-back championship. I mean, I think that Nuggets right now should be, people should fear the Nuggets. People should fear Joker when playoff mode comes in because he just turns it up. Yeah. So yeah, I think for me, I have the Nuggets as the favorite.
And you know, it's crazy. I'm going to triple down on that. I know this is kind of boring, but I got Denver as my number one as well.
How can you bet against them?
How could you bet against them? The Joker's my favorite to win MVP as well. I told you all the pluses about that team and the Joker. At plus 440, I feel like that's still really good odds for a team that I really, really think has a good shot at winning this. The West is tough, but I still don't think there's a team good enough in the West yet that could take down Denver. No. I think it's going to be Denver and the Bucks in the finals, and I think Denver is going to repeat and win their second title back to back.
Like so. That.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, you guys hit it right on the head when it comes into, and we joke about him not, you know, trying and shit like that and whatever. But if that is true, which I think there's some truth to that, I think that if he was one of these gym rats that took the game crazy serious like the way MJ did, like I think he could even do more. But when playoffs time comes, he turns into that player. He turns into the guy that's like, all right, enough's enough. Like he switches it to a different gear that nobody in the NBA has, and he just takes over. And so, like you guys said, it's hard to bet against them, whether I want them to win or not. Like I would love to see Luka get a championship. I would love to see Dallas get that, you know, Phoenix. Like that would be cool to see KD get another one. But it's like, I don't have enough guts to bet against Denver. I just don't. Do I want them to win? No. You know, I wouldn't be pissed if they won, but it's just hard to bet against them. So that's good points all around.
Now, I know we're about to get out of here, but am I the only one who thinks that this is probably the best year in NBA we've had in a long time? Like, it's brought me back. It's brought me back to love in the game. Is it just me or?
No, I agree. I think this year has definitely been like kind of similar to, honestly, my opinion. Well, I kind of similar to the NFL season this year, where it kind of like, I mean, it didn't end up being this way for the NFL, but at the time it felt like the NFL's finally available, open to, like, finally there's not one team that's like you know, they're guaranteed to win. Like, you know, with the NBA, we had the Warriors all these years. I mean, I love Steph Curry and all that, but like, it was just like so boring to be like, oh, Warriors win again and again, yeah, and again.
Warriors, Cavs, Warriors,
Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Cavs. Yeah, it's all that stuff. But now we've got like, we got so many other teams. We got the Bucks, we got the Nuggets, we got the Celtics, we got all these teams that are like, and there's not one team that's like a runaway like there was all these years, and you know. Yeah, it's just fun. Yeah, I think that's a big reason why. I don't think it's the only reason, but I think it's a big reason why, and I agree with you.
Well, yeah, and that's a great point, because all you have to do is look at the standings, and I think you guys said earlier that Golden State's number 8 in the West right now, and it's like, really? Like, how? And I think the Lakers are 9, and it's like, you're exactly right. I mean, there's 8 or 9 teams in each conference that could do something and could possibly go all the way this year. The talent across the NBA is the best it's ever been, easily. The only thing I would like to see change is, you guys remember when the big three in Boston and Kevin Garnett getting in people's faces and fights breaking out. I'm not a big fan of like fights breaking out because there's like kids at the game and shit, but I teach my kids that play football, you know, they're 9, 8, 9, and 10, and I teach all of them that whoever you're playing against, I don't care if you go to school with that kid and you guys are on two separate teams, like they are your enemy. Like, you're not out there giving them high fives. Hey, man, great play. Like, fuck that. You're trying to embarrass them. Like, you are trying to, you know, I tell my middle son, who's 9, I tell him, I'm like, talk a little shit. like, get in people's faces. Like, don't get thrown out of the game. Don't be getting flags and shit. But I think the NBA should bring some of that stuff back. Like, I think, you know, that competitiveness, like when Jordan was going out playing against these guys, like, he at some times looked like he was going to hurt people, like physically, like plan a murder and hurt people. Like, I want to see that. Like, I want to see players, you know, get pissed off and not, you know, shake hands at the end of the game because it's good sportsmanship for sure. But should you guys be hanging out and then later on you guys go get dinner together? Like, I don't like that shit, honestly. I wish that the competitiveness, maybe competitiveness is the wrong word, but, you know, that angry, you know, do whatever it takes killer mentality. I want to see more of that in the NBA, but I will second what you just said, Bubby, that it's definitely the best year in the NBA that I can think of in recent memory easily. So it's made it fun to watch. And like you said too, it's, I mean, you could log on and bet on games right now. And there's, you know, a team that's maybe 10th or 9th in the West playing a number 2 seed. And it's like, man, I don't know who I'm going to take in that game. And that's awesome. As a fan, that's what you want to see. You don't want to see 4 teams in the NBA dominate every year and they're always winning it or they're always in the conference finals together. That's cool every now and then. And I'm sure if you're on that team, that's badass. You want to dominate every year.
Yeah.
But as a fan, you want to see like a bunch of good teams all come together. I mean, and compete throughout the entire year. So I agree with you for sure.
All right, well, let's end on that positive. I'm glad we all got together to do this. I think we shared some good information.
Definitely.
Thank you, Danny, for coming on, Cousin Bubby. Make sure everybody, you know, rate us 5 stars, give us a view, share it, do whatever you can. We're all trying to make it big over here and give you some good knowledge, man. So any last Absolutely. Words from anybody just before we get out of here?
Danny Hoban, it's been an honor meeting you.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me on, and it was fun, and I look forward, honestly, to doing more of these things with you guys. I think the more we get together and chat and talk sports, it's good conversation. Ooh. So thanks for having me on, K9. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it, because you definitely bring, like, a professional, like, aspect, I feel like, to the kennel, because me and Bubby, we're, like, kind of, like, underground podcasters doing this in the back bedroom. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you come on here, like, and I've had people tell me this that listen to the interview I did with you, like, they can just tell, like, you've kind of been in this, you've done this, like, you sound really professional, really good, you have really good opinions. I mean, obviously, you're a former professional athlete, so it's badass anyways, but we really appreciate it, man.
I appreciate that. No, I appreciate that, for sure.
All right, guys. Everybody have a good weekend, and we out of here.
Woo-woo-woo!